data inaccurate, does not compute.
Tech wreck.
Electronic.
Tech wreck.
Still, Garion, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jamie.
Now, how's things in your part of the world?
Oh, look, it's I am amused by some of the stories today, and we'll get to that. But otherwise, it's been that kind of slow week between Christmas and New Year when people have too much time on their hands, and so the teen and early 20s hackers start doing stuff.
It's yeah, now explain this story to me. So there would have been a lot of, well, disappointed teenagers around the country or kids when they unwrap their new PlayStation on Christmas morning.
Yeah, or indeed their Xbox. What had happened is that on Christmas Day itself, both the Sony PlayStation Network and Microsoft's Xbox Network came under a sustained denial-of-service attack, it's called, a distributed denial-of-service, or DDoS attack, one of the biggest, in fact, the kind of biggest one that has been openly discussed that we've ever seen. And it just took them off air, which means anyone starting up their console, putting in the new game, the first thing it does is check back to the vendor's mothership to make sure that the game is, you know, properly licensed and not a pirate copy, except it couldn't get through because all of this junk traffic was barraging the site. So instead of getting to play your game, you were told, sorry, can't connect. So there's a lot of angry kids and, well, frustrated kids and frustrated parents, I imagine, on Christmas Day.
Yeah, not the time for it. What's happened?
Basically, at least two guys, and we're not sure exactly whether there's anyone beyond these two, but a hacker crew calling themselves Lizard Squad.
Lizard Squad, okay.
Lizard Squad.
Great name.
It is a great name. Had decided that these two networks were going to be their target for Christmas Day. So they organised what's called a botnet, a network of computers around the planet, to deliver a massive amount of traffic to essentially overload the Sony and Microsoft networks so that legitimate traffic couldn't get through. And that's all a denial of service attack is. It's not very technically brilliant. It's just sheer brute force.
Now, do we know why the Lizard Squad, these two teenagers, decided to do this? Was it just about recognition and just causing some problems?
Look, part of it's that, but this is actually a war between two rival hacker crews that has been brewing for at least a month.
Okay.
There are various hacker forums about, one of them indeed is called Hacker Forum. And Brian Krebs, who's a journalist, another InfoSec journalist, information security journalist around the planet, described, I've got to get this quote because it was actually really, really clever. He described it as a forum that is overrun with teenage wannabe hackers who spend most of their time trying to impress, attack, or steal from each other. And in a sense that, you know, you would have, I don't know, back in the 1950s, teenage gangs battling the streets for their turf. And it was really, you know, to anyone outside this, it's a meaningless battle. But for the people involved, it's serious business. And that's what's happened here.
So it's a modern-day Bloods and Crips still.
Absolutely.
Right.
The two rival groups would of course, diss each other's abilities and badmouth each other. And others say, well, I know I have this, I have the skills. I will show you how this can be done. And so amongst the targets they chose were these two gaming networks, possibly because to young males of that age, the gaming networks are a significant social thing. So if you can take them down, that's a lot of kudos to you within this community. And that's precisely what they did.
Okay. Now, it's obviously caused a whole lot of problems for a whole lot of people across the world, garnered them a lot of attention as well, the Lizard Squad. I mean, we're talking about them right now. But what are the consequences with an action like this? Because are these people that are very hard to track down and find as well?
Look, 720 ABC when they decide to do
your emergency services broadcaster, bushfire information.
There is a bushfire emergency warning for southern part of Toojay in the Shire of Toojay. A bushfire emergency warning has been issued for people in the southern part of Toojay near Salt Valley Road, Chalian Lane, Panorama View, Hoddywell Road and Sandplain Road in the Shire of Toojay. You're in danger and need to act immediately to survive. There is a threat to lives and homes. Homes in Salt Valley Road will be under threat by fire in 20 minutes. The fire is burning in bushland west of Salt Valley Road and is burning towards Salt Valley Road. In terms of the behaviour of the bushfire, it's moving fast in a northwesterly direction. It's out of control and unpredictable. Burning embers are likely to be blown around your home. What to do? It's too late to leave now, so leaving now would be deadly. You need to shelter in your home and actively defend it. Go to a room away from the fire front and make sure you can easily escape. Choose a room with two exits and water, such as kitchen or laundry. You must shelter before the fire arrives, as the extreme heat will kill you well before the flames reach you. Protect yourself by wearing long sleeves and trousers made from cotton or wool and strong leather boots. If your home catches on fire and the conditions inside become unbearable, you need to get out and go to an area that has already been burnt. If you cannot shelter in your home, a safer place you can go is a local open space, shed, swimming pool, dam or building, where you may go to seek shelter from a bushfire. This will give you some protection from the effects of a bushfire. Take water, woolen blankets and wear protective clothing. If you first to look for a safer place, there is a temporary welfare centre and it's been set up now at the 2J Town Hall. And of course, with road closures, avoid the area and be aware of fire and other emergency service personnel working on site. To keep up to date, go to dfes.wa.gov.au or you can call DFES on 13337. And listen to your radio because we'll have regular updates. And just to remind you, there's a bushfire emergency warning for southern part of 2J in the Shire of 2J. I'll now return you to your programming.
Various other charges in Germany. But he's travelled around. I won't tell the full story. But the next major thing is that he set up a file sharing site called Mega Upload.
Okay.
Where anyone could upload any file they like and tell people here it is, and it could be then downloaded. So it's what we would call today cloud storage, that, you know, you can store files up there and share it. Except that a reasonable proportion of the people using this site were using it for pirated content.
Right, okay.
Movies and music and so on.
Yep.
And the FBI in the United States responding to complaints from that industry, were alleging that the kind of business structure he'd set up specifically encouraged people to do this, to do illegal stuff. Now, this case never really got to court because by this stage, Kim.com, and I should mention he changed his name to Kim.com because he made his money in the dot-com boom.
Yeah, good to know that wasn't he wasn't born into it. That's
You'd have to have particularly prescient parents,
yeah,
I think so.
To
do that. By this stage, he'd gained residency in New Zealand. And the FBI coordinated a raid on his mansion in New Zealand and were originally boasting about, look, we've seized all of these luxury cars and the house and look at this stuff. As the prosecution unfolded, though, it turned out that maybe the FBI, do I want to criticise the FBI? Let's just say that there were questions about the quality of the procedure that they employed.
Okay.
That the New Zealand Intelligence Service was implicated because they had been spying on him, except now that he was a New Zealand resident, he was not allowed to be spied on in this way. There were a New Zealand judge threw out a whole lot of stuff because the FBI wanted, of course, to extradite him back to the United States to face prosecution. But the New Zealand judge would not allow that because of the way the evidence had been handled. And just it's turned into a mess. So at this stage, Kim.com is still resident in New Zealand and indeed set up and fielded candidates in the New Zealand elections as the Internet Party.
Okay, so there's no doubting that this man has a history and has a sway, but what was his role in what happened on Christmas Day and with these two other hackers that you mentioned earlier?
Look, this just blows me away. He bought them off. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it.
Right.
He told these guys, hey, look, if you stop this attack on these two gaming networks, I will give you 9,000 vouchers in my new business, which is called Mega, and it's the next generation of his Mega Upload service, if you like, but set up with better security and designed for people to store their files on the internet. And 9,000 vouchers with a list price of $99 each, that's about $300,000.
That's a payday. So what's the incentive for him?
We're talking about him today, aren't we?
In publicity,
He's got publicity, and it's worked very well for him. So on the surface, it looks like a win-win, right? I mean, kids get to play their games again, and adults play their games as well. I shouldn't stereotype. the Lizard Squad guys have pocketed these vouchers, which they're now selling online, not at their full list price, but they're getting $50 each for them. So that if they could keep selling them at that rate, that's still $150,000,
yeah,
which is, you know, a nice little payday for them. And Kim.com has got us all talking about him and his new business. But I'm worried because what we've essentially done is rewarded a couple of young criminals for their criminal behaviour. That they were not originally in this for the money. They were in it for, as they say, the lulls, just to show that
something
they can
to do.
It.
We can do it, yeah.
We can do it. And, of course, to prove to the rival crew that they had the cajonies to actually pull off this stunt. But now they've really got this first-hand experience of, hey, you could do this for money. And this kind of distributed denial of service extortion racket is quite rife on the internet, and it's not talked about much. But if you're running some sort of site that depends on the internet for revenue, say an online gambling site, and I know firsthand that one of the Australian sites was hit by this in the last few hours leading up to, I think it was the World Cup rugby a few years ago, suddenly their website is just being flooded off the internet. And a few minutes into it, you know, you get a phone call that says, we understand you're having problems with your internet at the moment. We can make that go away. Just send a certain amount of money to a certain place and it'll happen. You know, it's just like standover tactics in a nightclub in the old days, but perhaps still happen now. It's, you know, nice website you got there, Squire. Shame if something should happen to it.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting story. Interesting how it branches out as well still. Hey, you were mentioning as well, about fingerprint recognition technology. Now, it's something that we're seeing a lot more of. I know in some workplaces even, it's how you get around buildings. I've seen it in places where I've worked. But a recent conference in Germany putting some doubt really over that technology and how sophisticated it is.
Yeah, this is. I do like this story. Chaos Computer Club is one of the longest running hacker collectives on the planet, and it's not a youthful hacker crew like a graffiti crew or thing. These are seriously sharp people who are exploring the boundaries of what can be done with computers. So I'm using hacker in the neutral sense here. Someone who's doing clever tricks. Their annual get together has been happening. And one of the demonstrations was a guy showed how he could recreate fingerprints just from photographs of the person's hand.
Wow.
And he chose as his example, given that Chaos Computer Club is based in Germany, he chose the German defense minister.
Not a bad target.
Not a bad target. She was presenting at conferences. And, of course, you know, a politician, there's lots of photographs of them online. And many of them show her hands. And he could just zoom down in and take a close look at that and get enough photographs. He could reconstruct her fingerprint and then create a fake finger, essentially, to log in using her fingerprint.
ABC Local Radio WA. Bushfire information.
Scott Rowlandson briefly interrupting programming. A bushfire emergency warning has been issued for the southern part of 2J in the Shire of 2J. This emergency warning issued for people in the southern part of 2J near Salt Valley Road, Challian Lane, Panorama View, Hoddywell Road and Sandplade Road in the Shire of 2J. If you're in that area, you are in danger and need to act immediately to survive. There is a threat to lives and to homes. Homes in Salt Valley Road will be under threat by fire within 20 minutes. The fire is burning in bushland west of Salt Valley Road and burning towards Salt Valley Road. The bushfire is moving fast and it's moving in a northwesterly direction. It is out of control and unpredictable. Burning embers are likely to be blown around your home. It is too late to leave. Leaving now would be deadly. You need to shelter in your home and actively defend it. Go to a room away from the fire front and make sure you can easily escape. Choose a room with two exits and water such as a kitchen or laundry. You must shelter before the fire arrives, as the extreme heat will kill you well before the flames reach you. Protect yourself by wearing long sleeves and trousers made from cotton or wool and strong leather boots. If your home catches on fire and the conditions inside become unbearable, you need to get out and go to an area that has already been burnt. If you cannot shelter in your home, a safer place you can go to is in a local open space, a shed, swimming pool, dam, or building where you may go to seek shelter from a bushfire. This will give you some protection from the effects of a bushfire. Take water, woolen blankets, and wear protective clothing. If you're outside the area, temporary welfare centre, it's been set up at the 2J Town Hall. In terms of road closures, obviously avoid the area and be aware of fire and other emergency services personnel working on site. For more information, you can visit the website, Department of Fire and Emergency Services website, defes.wa.gov.au. You can call 1333 37, and updates provided on the quarter hour. So again, coming up at 3 o'clock until the situation changes. It's repeating a bushfire emergency warning for southern parts of 2J in the Shire of 2J. Returning you now back to programming.
Burnett's with you on ABC Local Radio, having a chat with Still Gary and talking tech today, as we do once a week with Still. This is something most of us would have seen on our Facebook feed pretty recently or on our page, a little My Year in Review, which, it's really a highlights package of some of the most liked photos that have been put on your Facebook page throughout the year. What's been the response from people? Has it been something they've... Well, welcome.
Look, broadly speaking, I think it's been positive. And I should flag here that I refuse to do business with Facebook.
Okay.
I consider them not the best model of ethical behaviour on the planet. But look, people make their own choices and we all choose who we do business with, and I don't like what Facebook
does. So that's why you haven't added me as a friend yet?
No, well,
it's not just because... But anyway, this My Year in Review, which you won't be using, has been broadly fairly popular.
And did you like it, Jamie? I mean, I'll come back to this. It was a summary. Was it the highlights of your year?
It was. Well, it had what I was worried about still, and this probably shows my vanity slightly. I wanted to see what it would show, but I didn't want it posted on my page because I thought it kind of looked a little bit lame. And I didn't want people to think that I was kind of like showboating, like, hey, everyone, check out my year in review. So I watched it and, you know, it had some big moments, a big holiday I had, my engagement to my fiance. So that was all on there. So I had the big moments. But, I didn't really want to share it with the world because I thought it looked a little bit, hey, look at me.
Well, in a sense, that's what it's for. You do the show and tell, and at Christmas time, and you catch up with relatives and go, oh, what's been happening in your year? And, you know, you tell them. I don't think that's showing off. I just think that's a nice social thing to do occasionally, is just refresh everyone's memory of how you all connect together. And I think overall, Facebook does an interesting job with this because there's a massive amount of stuff they have to choose from to put on someone's end of year summary, and even just in their news feeds, there's a number that blows me away, because when you first hit Facebook, when you log in, and it'll show you, here's the top items from your circle of friends today at this moment. But for a typical person, there's at that moment 1,500 different things that they could choose from, because the average person has around 100 Facebook friends, and the average person on Facebook posts maybe 15 things a day.
Yeah.
So Facebook has to kind of make clever decisions about, well, what are the best things, what are the most relevant things to show each person? So I think in general, they've done a reasonable job of choosing what were the most popular, the most looked at things to bring out for the year. And they're doing things like going, well, how often do you speak to person X? Oh, well, you talk to them every day. They must be a closer friend than someone who you only communicate with once every 6 months.
Yeah.
It's a fair assumption. So in broad terms, look, I suspect it's okay, but it's, you know, it can certainly do with some improvement. And an Eric Meyer in the United States is someone who I think, I know, think they could improve it.
Now, what happened
because
with Eric?
Yeah, in his year in review, it highlighted it to show a photograph of his six-year-old daughter who had died earlier in the year.
Okay, so this is really the misses of that technology, in that it doesn't enable a second check, because that would have been something that was, you know, viewed a lot, obviously very, very sad, and the people
A man's daughter, obviously, you know, he would have posted a lot of her photographs, he would have, et cetera, as any parent would. But Facebook, of course, didn't know that she was no longer with us.
Yeah.
And he described that as jarring, that suddenly being confronted with it, because she was front and center in the whole thing that he was shown with, surrounded by illustrations of dancing people and balloons. And, Eric, here's what your year looked like.
Did Facebook respond to Eric?
They did. And, look, I think both players in this handled it like adults, which is, I think, commendable on both sides. Eric understood that it was just a computer algorithm and it didn't know, but he just wanted to pass on to Facebook that, hey, this was not the best experience to have at the end of the year. And Facebook has agreed. They've apologized. They've said they're sorry. They said, look, it obviously worked for a lot of people, but in this case, it's brought grief rather than joy. We don't want that to happen. We'll, you know, go away and think about that, see if we can fix it next year.
Yeah, see if they can look at a way to eliminate something like that. Mm. But I think important in the way it was handled by both at the end, though. I mean,
as I say, they were both adults about it. And in a litigious country like the United States, you know, I mean, I would not have been surprised to read a story where someone has decided to sue Facebook for $3 million for grief and suffering or whatever. No, they were trying their best. They, you know, they didn't set out to hurt this guy. It just didn't end well.
Okay. Hey, still, thanks for having a chat to us today and throughout
pleasure,
the
Jamie.
Year as well. Hey, much on for you to finish the year still?
There may be a bottle of wine.
Okay. Look forward to it. Still, okay. Gary, a pleasure. We'll chat
later.
To you next week. See you
pleasure,
mate.
Jamie.